Hello, this is Jay Nemro. Oh, this is my thing, my place. Okay, I think so. This is the Life Autistic. You're listening to episode 605, and I can't say that I really got much of a topic today. You know what? I think I'm going to talk about blessings. Let me get back on the road here. I was called, and I was going to Torrance County, Estancia, which is quite a ways away, to go do some things, but things kind of fell apart there, and I was about halfway there, so I am shuffling around, redoing my schedule, in the hopes of salvaging some of this stuff today, so it won't be just a total waste of a day. And so I am on the road, going along as I typically do. Oh my gosh, you're not kidding. I really need to shave badly. But I'm kind of waiting until tomorrow, or tonight, so I can shave. So I'm going to look at tomorrow at my, I'm almost getting down to calling it kind of a coming out party. Although I would have to say that it's probably, in the grand scheme of things, kind of a small one. At the, you know, I don't really even know, the New Mexico Association for Family and Consumer Sciences, meeting, and I got put on a panel, I got invited to a panel, I think just because somebody remembered that I existed, and they thought I might be interesting, and I try desperately to be as interesting as I possibly can while still holding fast to whatever values I have. So it's been kind of a crazy week. I've been traveling a lot and not a lot of free time to handle what was really needing to be done. Immediately after this panel discussion that I'm going to be participating in. There's going to be something that I do for work called Techie Talk. It happens for me once every 3 months. Just happened to coincide with this thing. And I barely had the ability to attend things at all. So if nothing else, I'm very busy. But I've also been very thoughtful. When I travel, I get time to think. And certainly get time to work on podcasts and such. So here I am. I've got my suit with me. I figure it's never a bad idea to overdress. That there are worse crimes in the world. And overdressing at least makes you hopefully look good, if nothing else. Anyway, so I usually do a little bit, I call it the propaganda. It's just an email that goes out to announce Techie Talk, and I have fun with it. Try to. And I'm always amazed, given the amount of time I actually put forth to do these things, how well it seems to go. Now, and I'm not saying, oh boy, Jay's really good. And you go, you know, I don't think of it that way. I think I'm very blessed. You know, I think I have some talents, but I think I'm finally getting around to working on it. I can't say that. One of my talents has been technology and computers and understanding how things work as that are maybe a little abstract. I can't say I'm any kind of like a mechanic. Although most of what I do ends up being kind of mechanic work to ferret out just what exactly is going on with things. I have other talents too. And I've been trying to figure out how this is. Now, I know there's many people that only have maybe one or two talents, or at least one or two that they ever recognize. And so it makes sense for them to glom on to that talent and take that sucker all the way, you know? I don't know why, and I'm not saying that I'm greater or better than anybody else. I don't know why, but I guess I have more than one talent. And at various times, I've used those talents. And it usually has to do with how much money it can generate. Because typically, there's needs. There's needs for more income. And And I have to make changes to accommodate new circumstances. When new kids come, and we have to move for one reason or another, whatever, we have those needs. Anyway, so, I in the past switched back and forth between using my whatever you want to call it, skills, talents, whatever. And I don't know if they're really in home economics particularly, but using that certification I have, that degree I have in home ec, sometimes I'll use that one because it paid okay. Lately I've been using my skills in computers for the simple reason that it paid better. I'm finding myself, instead of saying that the money I have isn't sufficient right now, it is barely sufficient. It is right there on sufficient. I'm finding that I am being drawn, back into my more philosophical aspects, and maybe back into home economics, although that seems a little bit, it isn't terribly narrow, but it seems a bit narrow. Although not really. I've been sitting here pondering the whole idea of what is the real essence of home economics. It is the home. It is making a home. A lot of what I've been doing has had to do with child rearing. I'm just about ready to launch my first product of child rearing. Not that, it's like, well, this is Jay's creation. And you go, well, no, not really. It's more like, my child is leaving the roost. We're going to see how it turns out. I know I've had influence on her. I hope it's, by and large, positive. I hope it's been good. I sometimes worry that I've warped her mind and that she's not going to be... She's not going to be able to make her way in the world. But, when I think about that, the most interesting lives come from people that you don't think are well suited for life. So, you can't get too weird about it. You can't get too wacky about, am I preparing my child for this world, for this life, for being a success? And you go, what? I don't think anybody knows what that means. I mean, I think everybody should go to college. I'm not going to say what they should go to college in. I think it might be useful to have a practical skill upon which you can rely. I tend to look at that as my computer thing. In any given situation, I can put out my shingle as a computer technician and make money. It's dangerous and sturdy, but I can typically find work doing that. The degree I got in school in college has been, I think it sings to my philosophical soul. If you go back to the episode where I talk about the joy of home economics, I forget which episode that was, you'll hear a lot about that after I went and talked to Merlene. And Merlene was the one that put me on to this thing, and I'm grateful. I think you can phrase it in any kind of way. I tend to look at it as my Heavenly Father. You know, remember the last one, the last episode where I talked about Heavenly Father a little bit disjointedly, I'll grant you. I think he is manipulating circumstances, and I don't mind because I trust him. I trust that he is putting me toward what he wants me to do. And and I need to go with that. I guess the biggest reason why I might leave my present employment and work towards something else, or I'm really thinking I'm going to morph my present employment. I don't think I'm going to change employers. I might change what I do day to day, maybe. I don't know where it might ultimately lead. But it doesn't jive with what I know I'm supposed to ultimately do. It doesn't correlate together, you know, being a computer tech and what I'm ultimately supposed to be doing. Therefore, I am somewhat, you know, I'm starting to think, well, what am I supposed to do next? And I think I'm being led here. And so when I talk about blessings, that's what I'm talking about, the blessing of being led by somebody who knows you better, knows me better than I know myself. It's God. It is Heavenly Father. It is a person that wants me to reach my potential. And I have. I've been thinking about it. And frankly, the circumstances I'm in now, I'm not really reaching my potential. My job is challenging at times, but often it's just there. It's something I do for money. Sometimes I get a little embarrassed because I don't think I spend as much time as I should doing it. In some ways, it's kind of funny because I guess other people work and work and work and work and work to do this, and for me, it's, you know, I don't want it to be cocky because it bothers me. It isn't like, well, you know, I'm all this stuff because all this computer work seems really simple to me. It isn't that. It's my embarrassment and almost guilt at not having to work harder at it. You know, I get praise. Everybody's so happy with me. It's just so wonderful, and I don't understand that because I don't really feel like I'm doing very much. I spend most of my time in some car. I've been talking to a computer and recording this. It's just a funny world. I don't think I'm not doing what my employers want me to do, you know. And I'm not sure I'm adding the kind of value that they might envision. I hope someday, too. I don't want to make my employer unhappy. I don't want to get fired. I don't want bad things to happen. But I do need to be answering my purpose. Why I was sent here to this world. Why am I here? I need to get to that. And I think computer technology has a bit to do with that. You know, it does. But just as what I've always thought of it as, just a tool, a vehicle, a way of reaching people, podcasts and blogs and things like that are, these are These are just tools to use to get what's in my head and what's in my mind and heart out in for other people to see, to make comment on whatever it is. I gotta see what my email looks like right now. Oops, come on. There it is. Oh my gosh, 9 emails. Oh my god. Sudi, hell from Sudi. Rex's 2-cum carry printer. What's up with his 2-cum carry printer? Don Ray. Ryan, okay, yeah. Sure. Is he going to be doing that too? Okay. I'm sorry, I don't mean to take up this time. In fact, let me go ahead and pause this, and then I'll come back and after I've looked at my email. Hang on a minute. I don't mean to just have you guys listening to me going, ooh, ah, yeah, So, hang on. All right, I have returned. I've now checked all my email. Nothing big, nothing major. Stuff I actually already knew, but I'm glad that people reminded me of it. because I have kind of a poor memory. Hence, one of the reasons for the podcast is to record this stuff. It's really hard for me personally to think I'm all that, for instance, because I have so many shortcomings. One of them, obviously, is my really poor memory. I almost, you know, having things come back into my mind is almost a spiritual experience, kind of. Well, that maybe that's not a good way to phrase it. It's almost like it the clouds part and a shaft of light comes down and all of a sudden I recall something, somebody's name, something I'm supposed to be doing. And when it comes like that, you can't but feel like somebody's looking over your shoulder, somebody's watching out for you. And it's really hard to get cocky when that's kind of how life works for you. You know, it's really hard to say, oh, you know, my name is Jay Nemro, I've done this, and this. And it's like, well, wait a minute, you know, that's not how I'm not that great. I don't feel great at all. I feel like I'm just some guy that's on this journey, and there's a much greater guy giving me backup, you know, it's like almost having a team behind you that's designed to make you look good. If I do look good, it's because there's some kind of unseen team behind me. Angels and God and all those people, you know, are just, you know, it just makes it work. And it's stunning. It stuns me. And it makes me think, you know what? God is really a wonderful person. I mean, he at least has somebody assigned to the job of keeping track of important things in my schedule. Things that need to be remembered. You know, when I forget to write them down on the calendar, and hopefully I'm getting better at that. I'm getting better at writing these things down on my calendar. And which does remind me that I'm going to have to find out. I don't know exactly what time or what place this panel's happening. I could screw it up just by not knowing where the heck I'm going. Today I will find a place to stay close to Portales because of how early I'm going to have to get off to take care of things. I'll find a place in Clovis to stay because the rooms in Portales are just obnoxiously expensive. I So yeah, I feel blessed because these things keep coming to mind. And let me tell you, I feel like a simpleton most of the time. And I think I've said it a few times in recordings. Maybe not particularly in the Life Autistic, but, you know, at just the time of a podcast, you know, I feel like that I've got this weird mind, and, you know, I try to slant that as to something good when most of the world slants that to be something that's not particularly good. You know, something that's kind of, well, he's sick in the head, he's mentally deranged. And you know what? Sometimes I am pretty sure that that's a pretty fair assessment. You know, I get up these crazy ideas. I struggle with interesting problems that I don't think very many other people struggle with. Or it doesn't bother them like it bothers me, for instance. Anyway, so I am, and that's a lot what this podcast ends up being about, is the strange things I think about, the things that bother me, and what I fret about, or what I'm thinking about, and yeah, it's interesting. I don't know if it will end up being recordings that are studied in so that students can understand schizophrenia or paranoia, or if it will be studied as an exploration into a unique and wonderful mind, you know. Given the fact that I'm not sure which way it's going to go, that tends to keep one humble. You know, because people say, well, you know, he's a... Remember, it was a fruitcake. Some people will say fruitcake. Some people will say mad genius, perhaps. I don't know. I can deal with that. I've been called many things, and I've thought of myself in many different ways, from certifiable to just crazy. My wife is... My wife is funny, and I love her. And I'll tell you why I do, and why this comes up this particular moment. My kids told me last night that my wife had kissed the driver's side window of my car. Now, and they also said, Dad, we also know that you never would have noticed under normal circumstances that this happened. I forgot, of course, over the course of the evening into the night, and now the morning. But now I'm looking over at the side of my thing, and sure enough, there is my wife, an imprint of, I think, mentholatum, which is what my wife typically uses to keep her lips from cracking. There it is, on my windshield. There is also up above it a little spot where her nose touched, and a little spot down at the bottom where her chin touched. You have to understand something about my wife. She's very, she has something of a greasy face. So, she also has a prominent chin, a chin that kind of sticks out, and she's got kind of a little bulbous nose. Actually, kind of a big bulbous nose. And I know that doesn't sound very, you know, I'm not married to Morgan Fairchild or somebody like that. I'm married to Lisa. And this is just Lisa, you know, little bitty lips. She has small lips, small hands, small feet. My wife does. And, and so we got these little bitty lips, and then we've got these two kind of greasy smudge marks above and below for her nose and her chin. And I'm sorry, to me that's endearing. You know? Well, nonetheless, I don't have any clue why on earth my wife feels the need to kiss my driver's side window, except to give me a part of herself to take traveling with me, which is great. I like it. I like it. I like being special in somebody's life, and I'm grateful for that. And I guess that makes it so that when people come to me and they go, Jay, you need to be committed, you know, and they give you that look that says they're serious and that they don't find you funny or interesting or anything like that, you know, there, we should lock you up and make sure you can't influence your kids anymore. And, you know, I get concerned about that. I don't want to be separated from my family. It won't make my wife's job any easier. She'll have to try to support 7 people. And I've only gotten to the point to where I feel comfortable at all supporting 8, you know. And I worked hard to get to this point. She's been mostly a stay-at-home mom, professional mother. And I don't know how she would fare with that. So that worries me. But I know somebody out there thinks nice, kindly of me. Although I can't say that Lisa thinks much of some of the things that I talk about, mostly because she goes, Jay, I don't really comprehend what you're talking about. It's not interesting to me, and she gets tired of it, because that's, you know, I talk about it incessantly. So, what a relationship we have, Lisa and I. We love each other dearly, and I get so frustrated because she can't understand what I'm doing. She gets frustrated because she's tired of listening to me talk about things she doesn't understand or doesn't want to understand or something. And it just brings me back to that point again, how blessed I feel because things have gone well for me when things could have just as easily gone badly. You know, I'm sure that at some point there was, and I'm not sure I've passed other opportunities when people could say, you know, let's stick Jay in a rubber room because we think he might hurt somebody. You know, he's that crazy. And like I said, you know, I've tried to come up with several ways of dealing with it. You know, the whole concept of Zenith that I talked about earlier in these podcasts, that was kind of a way to understand myself and also feel good about myself, to say, you know what, there's something good about me. I'm not just something that could probably get a heavy diagnosis and somebody could give me some pills to try to straighten me out. I'm not really after the pills, because I'm afraid that in the pills, I might lose that interesting part of me that I think has something to offer the world. You know, I don't want to be just kind of a brain, kind of a mind-numbed person. And I'm worried that that's what drugs like that would do to me. And I don't want that to happen. I don't want to be like that. Okay, how are we doing on recording time? See if I'm totally boring you people. We're getting close to 30 minutes, and that's usually a pretty good time to stop if I think I've pretty much covered the topic. Am I taking a chance here tomorrow with this panel discussion? You know, maybe. Let me tell you a few things that give me hope, that buoy my spirits, that make me think that I can contribute and people won't, you know, just blow raspberries at me and walk away. I think what I've already talked about, which was when I was talking about my affirmations, what I've been thinking about, what I've been working, what I've just been talking about and working about. I talked about that guy who spoke at Eastern New Mexico University, and and just how neat he was. I'm sure many people thought he was nuts, and they didn't really want to, you know, and it was kind of a question of, you know, is he crazy? You know, I didn't think so. I was inspired by the man. I forget his name. I'm gonna get it. I'm gonna have to go back in the memory of 20 years ago and try to figure out who this gentleman was that came and spoke to the College of Education. Because I would. I'd like to see what happened to him. I would like to see what ultimately became of that person. Anyway, so, I can't believe I lost the second one. Much more interesting, or much more interesting circumstances under which I met that person. Much more likely that he would have been called a man. Oh, yes! Yes, yes, yes. I was attending the National Prevention Network conference. They had in Albuquerque probably about 4 or 5 years ago. And I was doing my contract work for the county health council. And the opportunity came up to do this. It was going to be paid for, stay overnight in a pretty nice hotel. And I'm, you know, supposed to gain knowledge about what's new and the best in the areas of prevention. And there was several sessions to go to. And one of them, I come to find out there was much controversy about this man. He had his PhD. He was a guy who had earned his degree, and he talked in a very visceral, personal way about this way he had found, and he had come up with a kind of a whole system around it. It sounded to me like religion, and that's okay because I can see that. I can take that, and you know, you've seen me do that when I talk about my Heavenly Father. You know, that's kind of taking a religious personage, a religious concept, and trying to interject it into what you would consider a secular setting, a secular world. And that's kind of what kind of ended up happening to this. But it was mostly heart-touching heart, things like that, how one can change people. So he was talking about how to get people to change, and he was talking almost in kind of a religious context. And I brought that up in this group. I said, you know, I could change a couple of words that you use, and you sound more like a minister or a preacher, and you're starting to sound like, you know, you're preaching some religion. And I didn't want, you know, and I didn't want to say that was bad. I said, but you know, you can take another connotation to it. And I found myself doing that more and more. And this guy was something of an outcast. You know, there was some people that were going around saying, there's this thing that says this guy was going to be banned from this. From this conference. You know, he had gotten himself there in some ramshackle car he has. And he was trying to spread this understanding he had learned. You could almost think of it as some kind of a message, and his technique, which was mostly just getting into people's lives. you know, on a much more personal level. When I was talking before about institutionalism, his presentation was something about getting out of the realm of that. I seem to think he was a social worker, perhaps. I don't know. It slowly filters in. It's like I was saying, it's somewhat revelatory in a way, you know, how these things come into my mind. So, you know, I really can't for the life of me remember. Of course, that's the only presentation from that whole thing, except for one, and it was mostly about just kind of the whole cocky, give me a chance to affect people, and I'll find a way to affect them through, you know, laws, through social mores, through forcing people to do what we want them to do. He was kind of that kind of a person, and that kind of upset me. An interesting counterpoint, too, what I had for, you know, what I had for this other gentleman, and it saddens me so much that I don't remember these people's names. I don't remember what I did. I might be able to dig through my records and try to find some kind of a program and see what I did, but I don't remember actually making a record of which sessions I attended. So I don't know how helpful that'll be. Anyway, amazing, wonderful. I do remember there was quite a few people that walked out. I, in the beginning, was somewhat skeptical, you know, until, you know, I started thinking about it and saying, you know what? I said, it's kind of like what Glenn Beck says. Glenn Beck, when he talks about getting hooked by the Mormons, you know, I have to be careful because I am a Latter-day Saint myself. When he decided to join the Mormon Church, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, you know, he often talks about it as, you know, I didn't care. Said, if there was Kool-Aid to drink, I was going to drink it. You know, which is kind of a reference back to like Jim Jones down in South America doing that religious movement. And, you know, everybody drank the Kool-Aid, and they all died from drinking the Kool-Aid. Kind of mass suicide. You've had other groups that have done that since then, with, you know, whatever. Anyway, so he was talking about that. And I get, and honestly, it was, you kind of got that thing when you talked, when this guy was talking to you, that he had found some visceral truth. He had found some ultimate truth. But, you know, he was explaining it in a way that was different from what you were used to hearing. I think maybe my comment about that he sounded somewhat religious, I think it was somewhat offensive to him. You know, because that's not how he got there, and he probably had, you know, crappy insight into what religion is about. You know, I have a different take on religion than most people do because of my upbringing. And so I can make connections that don't make a lot of sense to other people. Most of them would look at you and go, you've lost your mind. You've just lost it. So anyway, those two situations, circumstances, short and small, have had somewhat of a, I don't know if it's been a profound effect on me, but these were two kind of wild, crazed maniacs, and I find over time I'm getting more wild and crazy. More of an ability to touch people on a different level, maybe with different words, different terms, different concepts, to come towards some ultimate truth. I think that these people, the man who spoke at the College of Education at EMU, I think he had, you know, he had caught hold of a bit of ultimate truth, and he was trying to spread it. Marvelous thing to do, I think. This other man at the National Prevention Network conference, he had caught a good chunk of ultimate truth, and he was trying to spread it through his ways of doing it. I don't know if he had a job right there. I think he was somewhat self-employed, trying to get this stuff out, using the kind of venues that he was accustomed to using, to try and share what he had found. I think all these things are bits, maybe large bits perhaps, of ultimate truth, which has always been what I've been seeking for and what I feel compelled to share. Not just about myself, but about other things too. Although I think knowing yourself can help get you a long way toward that. Anyway, so, this is Jay Nimro. I think this thing's been on long enough, and I think I've gotten my points made. I'm grateful for your listening, as always. I hope it's touched your heart. I hope it's invigorated your soul. I hope your mind feels enlightened as I share these things that have touched me, that have made my soul sing. And I'll let that go. Blessings. Blessings is the name of this podcast for all those different reasons. But I don't feel like I'm this great, fantastic person. But I feel like I've been not just led, but brought to many interesting people that are on the same journey that I'm on. And I don't know where it leads. I don't know where it leads, but I'm willing to go there knowing that God's going to take care of me, that my Heavenly Father has my best interests at heart. This is Jay Nimro. You have been listening to The Life Autistic. This is episode 605. Where's my mouse? There it is. Have a great day.